Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. And tonight we'll be in chapter 4. And we'll try to cover the whole chapter. I'm going to read over the whole chapter, and then we're just going to key on some of the verses in here. Now, we've seen in our previous studies in this wonderful book that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our heavenly bridegroom, sees no spot or blemish in his people. No spot or blemish in his blood-bought bride, a bride which he has purchased with his own precious blood. God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, has purchased his bride. In Acts, the scriptures declare, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." God has purchased his bride. God incarnate in the flesh, the very one we saw this morning, who has all power, who was 100% human and 100% God. And it is he and he alone who has purchased his bride. Turn, if you would, over to chapter 1. We looked at, in chapter 1, how the bride sees herself black with sin. And yet, the Lord sees her beautiful. And she sees herself beautiful in Christ's perfect, spotless righteousness. Look at verse 5. "I am black." She sees herself as black with sin. Absolutely black with sin. Oh, but calmly. Calmly there in the Hebrew is beautiful. Beautiful. "O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon." Also further down in verse 15, we see our Lord call his bride fair. Look at verse 15. "Behold, thou art fair, my love." Behold, he does it twice. "Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes." Now fair there in the Hebrew is beautiful. Beautiful. And then turn, if you would, to Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 10. And the bride again is called beautiful, which is fair in our text. Verse 10. "My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, my beautiful one. My, and come away." What affection. What affectionate and endearing titles. We see right there, "my beloved spake," and he said, "rise up, my love." In verse 10, "my fair one." These are very endearing titles that the bridegroom himself calls the bride. Now let's turn now to chapter 4. And our text opens up with the same as in Song of Solomon 1:15. And it's here repeated by Christ to introduce the words which follow, which show the greatness of Christ's love to the church. His bride. Look at Song of Solomon chapter 4, verse 1. "Behold, thou art fair." Beautiful. Beautiful, my love. "Behold, thou art fair." Says it twice again. Beautiful, beautiful. And look at these terms of endearment. "My love." "Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead." The bride is twice fair in the eyes of her beloved. Twice fair in the eyes of her beloved. Twice beautiful. Well, why and how? Well, first, she's washed in his precious blood, beloved. She's washed in his precious blood. And second, she's sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God. She's clothed, thirdly, in his perfect, spotless righteousness. She's absolutely beautiful to him. He's enamored with her. And let us always remember that this Song of Solomon is a love song. It's a love song about Christ and his bride. And it brings forth the love which Christ has for his bride and also the love that his bride has for him. For him. Remember we looked at that one time? It's reciprocal love. It goes back and forth, beloved. It goes back and forth. And tonight, we will see how the bridegroom, Christ, sees no fault. No fault in his bride. She's absolutely beautiful in his sight. How can this be? How can we who are sinners be looked at by Christ and He sees us beautiful? We're still sinners, aren't we? But He sees us as beautiful. We who are the redeemed. We who are saved sinners are clothed in His absolute, perfect, spotless righteousness. And this is what Christ sees us in. We've been washed in His precious blood. We're clothed in His righteousness. And this salvation that we have obtained as a gift from God is marvelous. It's marvelous. And this love that we see here before us of Christ for His bride, words cannot describe it. Words cannot describe it. And this should leave we who are believers, we who are sinners saved by the grace of God alone, it should leave us in wonder. It should leave us in wonder that the Lord Jesus Christ would clothe us in His perfect righteousness and that He sees us as beautiful. Look at how He speaks about His bride. And note, one thing I want us to note here as we're reading this, He doesn't find any fault in her. There's no fault. He doesn't mention one fault because He sees her as absolutely beautiful. Look at this. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which come up from the washing, whereof every one bears twins and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the tower of David, builded for an armory, wherein there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee, I will get me to the mountain of Merith and to the hill of frankincense. There's absolutely, He never once mentions any fault. Isn't that amazing? And then look what He says in verse 7. Thou art all fair, all beautiful. My love, there is what? No spot in thee. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Now let us remember, in our natural state of depravity and in our fallen nature, there's absolutely no beauty in us. And we saw in chapter 1 again that the bride sees herself black with sin, unclean and corrupt by nature. And we are all black in our own esteem, aren't we? Sister Nancy and I were talking about that yesterday, about how sometimes it's hard for us to read these portions and go, this is me? This is how the Lord sees me? But it's true. Because we see our own sin. We know our own sin. But the Lord looks at us, clothed in His perfect righteousness. And that scripture right here. Now let this just burn into our souls, beloved. Thou art all beautiful, fair, beautiful. My love. Now, what a term of personal endearment. My love. We only call our wives that. We men only call our wives that. My love. There is no spot in thee. Now, we see spots in ourselves, don't we? But the Lord sees no spot in us. None. None in His people. And we wonder in amazement, don't we? We who are redeemed, we who are His blood-bought people, we wonder in amazement that He should look upon us with such favor. We can't comprehend it. Our finite little minds can't comprehend it. And remember, when I talk for our finite little minds, in the mind compared to the minds of God, mind of God, which is infinite, right? He knows everything, all things. There's nothing hid from Him, and we only have a little bit of understanding. And it's hard for us to comprehend this, isn't it? But we, by faith, look at this and go, oh my goodness. The Scriptures declare this, therefore this is true. This is true. So let us then marvel at the description of how the Lord sees beauty in us. And know that this beauty comes from outside ourselves. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees His own reflected beauty. Because we are clothed in His righteousness. We are clothed in His righteousness. And in the eyes of Christ, we are perfect in beauty. It's so. Because the Scriptures declare that. And it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. In Christ, we are complete. We're complete. And He looks upon us and sees us in Himself. Christ has made us beautiful in every detail. He's removed every spot of sin from us. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And He will soon present us to Himself, faultless before His Father's throne, in His own perfection, in His own righteousness. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. And we who are redeemed marvel, we're so undeserving. We don't deserve this. And we marvel that the Scriptures declare these wonderful truths. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 21 and 22. And now keep in mind the verse in verse 7. Thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. Look at this in Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. Brother Jim read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The ministry of reconciliation. And God's people are now reconciled to Christ. In the body of His flesh through death, presents you. Okay. Now we're sinners. We're sinners by birth. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. And after the Lord saves us, we're saved sinners. Right? And we see sin in ourselves as we grow in grace. We don't see ourselves getting better, do we? No. We see ourselves getting worse. We see, because as we're being conformed to the image of Christ, we see more and more our own sin. And we see more and more the holiness of God and who He is. And look at this, though. Look at this marvelous text. In the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and what? Unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. This is good news, beloved. Good news for sinners, isn't it? Wonderful news for sinners. And the Lord Jesus Christ, let's go back to Song of Solomon, chapter 4. The Lord Jesus Christ describes His church as is having a sevenfold beauty in His eyes. Everything about her is perfect. Look at this. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, which is beautiful. In verse 1, she has dove's eyes within thy locks. In verse 1 again, her hair is a flock of goats that appear upon from Mount Gilead. Verse 2, her teeth are like a flock of sheep that are shorn, which come up from the washing, whereof every one of them bear twins, and none is barren among them. Verse 3, her lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is calmly. Verse 4, thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. Again, verse 4, thy neck is like a tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. In verses 5, 6, and 7, thy two breasts, which is the seat of affection, being where the heart is, are like two young roses that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of Merith and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Oh my. The Lord Jesus Christ is pleased with the beauty of His church because she's clothed in His perfect spotless righteousness. Now let's look at verses 8 to 15. 8 to 15 here. come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lions' dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Now here is our beloved calling his bride. And note a new name in this song now for her, my spouse. Another term of affection. Another term of affection. When Christ calls, he says, come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. Now when Christ calls, the bride obeys. Hey, we go. We go. And all who have come to Christ by faith have heard his voice calling us. Calling us. Through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is an irresistible call. And we forsake the things of the world, the things that we once loved, and we follow him. Matthew Henry wrote, this is Christ's call to his spouse to come off from the world, all its products, all its pleasures, to sit, lose all the delights of sense. All those must do so that would come to Christ. They must take this affections off from present things. Our affections, our love turns from the things of the world to Christ. To Christ. It's amazing. We look to him and him alone. And we who are the redeemed of the Lord must look to him. We must look beyond the things of the world to our wonderful Redeemer. And we're taught by circumstances to keep looking to our gracious Redeemer. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. Remember, we learned this in our study in the book of Colossians. We are to keep looking to Christ. And the gospel preacher will keep pointing you to Christ. Every gospel preacher, we keep pointing you to him. Pointing you to him. He's the only one who can give you comfort. He's the only one who can save you. Look at this in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Look to Christ. Seek those things. Don't seek the things of the world. Seek the things of Christ. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Set your affection, that means your heart, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Keep short accounts in this world, beloved. Don't hold on to anything too long, too hard. No. We're to look to Christ. Set our affection upon him. Set our affection upon him. And let us see also in verse 8 of Song of Solomon chapter 4, wonderful promise, which the blood-washed saint of God can and should enjoy, that all of God's sheep will be brought home to heaven with him, where the lions of hell and the leopards of darkness will torment us no more. No more. Next, we see Christ ravished by his bride. Look at verses 9 and 10. Now remember, too, his bride is made up of blood-washed sinners, redeemed sinners. Look at these marvelous words. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. Several of the commentators said, when we look to Christ by faith, when we look to him with love and affection, he's ravished with us. It's incredible. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments, than all spices. And note the expressions of love that flow from our heavenly bridegroom's lips for his bride. He's ravished with her. Oh, verse 10 speaks of the love of Christ to his church and the love of the church to Christ in return. And this is the whole subject of the song. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Turn, if you would, over to chapter 1. The bride proclaims this very thing that Christ himself here proclaims. The Lord Jesus Christ in verse 10 there has declared how precious her love is in his sight. And the church said the same of the love of Jesus to her. Look at Song of Solomon, verse 1, or verse 2, chapter 1. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Better than wine. Let's go back to Song of Solomon 4:10. And note here, the Lord consents to make the same comparison as the bride in verse 10. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine? In the smell of thine ointments and all spices. So let us pause and consider and ask in wonder, how is it possible that the love of a poor, worthless worm such as I can be at all graceful and much less highly esteemed in Christ's sight? What great love Christ has for his bride. What great love Christ has for his bride. An everlasting love, beloved. And who would have ever thought that our love would be to him, would be delightful to him? Did you ever think that? He's ravished with us. He's ravished with us. Let us remember that the love we have for him is a love which he has created within us. A love which he has created within us. And we love him, why? Because he first loved us. Because he first loved us. In our natural state, we didn't love him. We couldn't love him because we were dead in trespasses and sins. But we who are redeemed, born again by the Holy Spirit of God, we now have a love for him which he has given us, which he has created within us. And he has put this love in our hearts. He is ravished by it. He's ravished by it. Look at verses 11 to 16. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop is a honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thine garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are like an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits. Campfire and spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh, and alloys, with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south wind, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Oh my. What love the Savior has for his bride. He's redeemed her. He's purchased her. He loves her with an everlasting love, and he is ravished by her. And I ask you who are redeemed, have you ever experienced in this world a love like this? The answer is a resounding no. We've never experienced this love from anyone else except Christ. This kind of love. Now let's go back to verse 7, and I'd like to look at this in closing. Verse 7. Look at this again. This is worth looking at again. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Now we as believers look at this verse and say, does this verse really speak of me? I kind of hit on that earlier, right? We know what we are. I'm the very opposite of all that is beautiful and spotless because I'm a sinner. And when we look inward, we see our sin. And we loathe our sinfulness, don't we? We hate it more in ourselves than anyone else. I hate my sin. I know other people are sinners, but I think I'm the chief. Is it so with you? My. So when we look inside ourselves, we see that all we do is tainted with sin. And we find it hard to take these precious words to be addressed to ourselves, one who's so sinful and imperfect. Yet, let us remember what we looked at in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, which instructed us not to look to ourselves, right? But instructed us to look to Christ, to set our affections upon Christ. and to take courage. Oh, beloved, take courage. We've seen this time and time again in this song, Christ's magnificent love for his bride set before us, haven't we? And let us remember that the same precious blood was poured out to redeem all the flock of God, to redeem all the sheep of God, to redeem all those who were given to Christ by the Father. And rejoice then, you who are God's elect, in the blessed fact that you are indeed precious to the Lord. Rejoice in that fact. You who are the redeemed of God are precious in the eyes of the Lord. And he says, you are beautiful, my love. Does this not make us want to worship him? Does this not make us want to just adore him? He who is the lover of my soul. And again, we sit in wonder considering the miracle of his love. The miracle that he would love us. And considering the miracle of his love that's been wrought within us. That we love him. And we only love him because he first loved us. We look at his loveliness and we marvel, don't we? We look at his loveliness and we marvel. And he looks at us and sees us clothed in his righteousness, beautiful in his sight. Wonder of wonders. Only God can do this. And marvel, you who are the redeemed of Christ, you who are his blood-bought saints, he sees no spot or blemish in you. He proclaims this. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Oh, Lord, burn this truth into my heart. This is what we cry, hey, burn it into my heart, Lord. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Now, spot there means blemish. Spot, defect or stain. No blemish physically or morally. All he sees in his bride is beauty. Beauty. Now, it's quite true, again, that in ourselves, believers are sorrowful and imperfect and sinful while we are here on this earth. And everything we do, again, is tainted with sin. That's true. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in his marvelous mercy, robes us in his perfect righteousness to cover our unrighteousness. That we may be made beautiful in his sight. Isn't it wonderful? It's absolutely wonderful. And we can't comprehend this mystery. We can't plumb it, but this is what the scriptures declare. We can't comprehend the mystery of this divine love. But it's the sole and all-sufficient reason for our Lord's estimate of ourselves and how he sees us. We are beautiful in his sight. In this same divine love had him go to Calvary to die as our substitute and to satisfy divine justice and law. God's divine justice and law in our place. In our own hearts, We who are redeemed, we who are the born again by the Holy Spirit of God, our own hearts melt and are ravished by his wondrous condescension that he would leave heaven for me. He's ravished with us and we're ravished with him. It's reciprocal. It goes back and forth. It's wonderful that he would do this for me, that he would condescend to purchase my soul, that he would die my substitute. Oh, this ravishes the believer's heart. And we marvel at this wondrous eternal love, which is manifest, isn't it? It's manifested. It's manifested to us by the Holy Spirit of God when we're born again. But then we look to Calvary and we see that love for us, that eternal love, manifested in him dying for us. It's right there. And we wonder in awe. And it thrills our souls with joy. And it uplifts us during our sorrows when we consider this wondrous love Christ has for his people, for his bride. My beloved. Wonderful words to the redeemed soul. Christ alone is the fount and source of our love for God. And there is no greater joy than to be able to cry out by faith, which we looked at earlier in the studies in Song of Solomon. There's no greater joy than to be able to cry out by faith, my beloved is mine. Oh, and I am his. I am his. This is a sea of mercy and grace, beloved, that we can even do this, that we can cry out, that the blood-bought saints of God can cry out, my beloved is mine, and I am his. This is a sea of grace and mercy, beloved. And you'll never plumb the depths of it. No other joy compares to this, to that which the God's blood-bought saints feel when this is a reality in our souls. And words cannot express how wondrous this is. My beloved is mine, and I am his. And again, look at Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 7. We cry out, my beloved is mine, and I am his. And then here in this verse, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. No spot in thee. These are the words of our Redeemer. Our heavenly bridegroom. All the sins of his bride, past, present, and future, in every one of us who are redeemed in this room, all our sins were future at Calvary's cross. All the blackness of our sins are cleansed away by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are now clothed in his perfect, spotless righteousness. And this is so completely done, one commentator said, that God himself can find no remnant or stain of that which would have meant eternal death to an unwashed soul. And that was the state we were in. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, and then put your finger in Isaiah 43, verse 25. Oh my. Look at Psalm 103. Verse 11 and 12. Now, we remember our sin, don't we? And sometimes it comes to remembrance, and we repent quickly of it, don't we? Oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, look at Psalm 103, verses 11 and 12, beloved. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Now, God's people fear him. We looked at that today. It's a reverent fear. It's not a slavish fear. It's a reverent fear. We know who he is. He's revealed to us his holiness. He's revealed to us his righteousness. And he's revealed to us our sinfulness. And look at this, though, in verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. And remember, if you go, you started in one point of this earth, and you went around that earth, you would always be going east. East would never, ever meet west. And then if you went the other way and you went west, it would never meet east, beloved. Never. Oh, my goodness. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. They're gone, beloved. Now look at Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. And the poor redeemed sinner who trusts in Christ is lifted from the depths of sin to the heights of heavenly bliss. Look at this in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. Oh my, it speaks of our Lord, our Savior, our great God and King. And look at this. Isaiah 43, verse 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't remember your sins, you who are redeemed of the Lord? I'm so thankful. I am so thankful that all my sins are forgiven. And that when the Lord looks at us, we who are redeemed, he says, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. See, if there was spot in us, then he'd remember our sin, wouldn't he? But it says in the Scripture, and the Scriptures declare, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. What a Savior. My, oh my. Beloved, walk in this precious truth. There's no spot in you. Walk in this precious truth. Keep your eyes upon he who has made you so, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his eye, the church is not only fair, beautiful, but spotless, because we're washed in his precious blood and clothed in his righteousness, and we are without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And what a blessed thought this is for the believer. We are one in Christ. He is the head and we're the body. And in him we are seen as spotless. Justified by the righteousness of Christ, washed in his precious blood, and sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God. Born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And we see the bride's completeness in Christ. Turn, if you would, one last scripture, Colossians chapter 2. We see the bride's completeness in Christ, don't we? When the bridegroom declares, thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. We see the completeness of the bride's completeness in Christ, her justification, sanctification, redemption, righteousness, all through Christ, covered with that spotless robe of righteousness. There's no spot in her. Look at this in Colossians chapter 2. And I'll read again. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. And ye are complete in him. There's no spot. No spot in thee. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Oh, my beloved. Unblameable and unreprovable, we will be presented before God by Christ. With no spot and no blemish. Gracious Heavenly Father, we who are the redeemed of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we stand in awe at this wondrous verse that there's no spot in us. Oh, that we are made clean, washed from all our sins, a number of sins that we could never pay. But, oh, Lord Jesus, you paid for all our sins, all the sins of all your elect upon Calvary's cross. And we who are redeemed marvel that were included in that number. May ye be glorified and magnified. May we leave here rejoicing. We who are the redeemed of the Lord, may we leave here rejoicing.
in this wondrous salvation. And may you use these messages for your glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.